You're listening to SBS News.
At 10:58 the morning of August 9th, the bomb was exploded above the city, and in the towering mushroom, Japan could read its doom. This was more than a routine bombing. It was the funeral pyre of an aggressor nation. The bomb had been purposely exploded high, so that the greatest part of its radioactive material was dissipated in the stratosphere.
It's been 80 years since the United States dropped atomic bombs on Japan's Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it's been more than three decades since the world's last major nuclear test. And for many, it felt like that chapter of history was closed. But this week, talk of nuclear weapons has returned to the world stage as leaders in Washington, Moscow, and Beijing trade words that echo the Cold War era. But then, a sudden shift from the U.S. president. It began in Miami, where U.S. President Donald Trump raised eyebrows with comments about possible cooperation with Russia and China to denuclearize, even as all three nations continue to modernize their nuclear arsenals.
We're the number one nuclear power, which I hate to admit because it's so horrible. Russia's second, China's a distant third, but they'll catch us within 4 or 5 years. Maybe working on a plan to denuclearize the three of us. We'll see if that works.
It was a rare hint of cooperation from a leader known for talking up U.S. military might.
We have the strongest military anywhere in the world by far. We're investing $1 trillion in the United States Armed Forces this year. It's the biggest amount.
The comments have fueled speculation about whether the White House is considering new arms control talks or simply sending a message of power to its rivals. In Moscow, President Vladimir Putin was quick to respond. At a meeting of Russia's Security Council, he instructed his top officials to prepare for the possible resumption of nuclear testing.
I am instructing the Foreign Ministry, the Ministry of Defense, the Special Services, and the relevant civilian agencies to do everything necessary to collect additional information on this issue, analyze it within the framework of the Security Council, and make agreed proposals on the possible start of work on the preparations for nuclear weapons testing.
Defense Minister Andrei Belousov told the meeting that U.S. actions justified getting ready for full-scale tests at Russia's Arctic testing ground on Novaya Zemlya.
We must maintain our nuclear potential in readiness to inflict unacceptable damage on the enemy under any circumstances, and act appropriately in response to Washington's actions in the interests of guaranteeing our country's security. Given the above, I believe it is advisable to begin preparations for full-scale nuclear testing immediately. The readiness of the forces and assets at the central test site on the Novaya Zemlya archipelago allows for this to be carried out within a short time frame.
In a meeting earlier this week with contractors who develop Russian weaponry, the Russian president confirmed that his country is continuing to develop its nuclear capabilities.
Russia is now finally getting both the Burevestnik cruise missile with unlimited range and the Poseidon unmanned underwater vehicle with nuclear power units. All our plans are being fulfilled, thanks to people like you and your colleagues.
President Putin added that Russia would still honor the Global Test Ban Treaty, at least for now. The global ban he's referring to is the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty, or CTBT, a landmark agreement signed in 1996 to prohibit all nuclear explosions, whether underground, underwater, or in the atmosphere. 187 nations signed. Then U.S. President Bill Clinton signed, but the U.S. never ratified the treaty, and it has not come into force. Still, it's created a powerful international norm, with no nuclear test explosions having taken place since 1992. Heather Williams, director of the Project on Nuclear Issues at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says any return to testing would be more about politics than science. She adds that as the U.S.'s nuclear arsenal is regularly assessed by government experts, there's no need for explosive tests.
Really smart scientists at the national labs are using supercomputers, lasers, and other really advanced technology to make sure that the nuclear arsenal is fit for purpose and that it will do what it's supposed to do. They can do this without any explosive testing.
She warns that a single test by one major power could trigger a dangerous domino effect. So where does this leave the world's nuclear triangle? President Trump hints at cooperation, President Putin prepares for testing, and China continues to expand its arsenal while keeping a close eye on both. When President Trump last met President Xi Jinping, he combined friendliness with rivalry.
And we're going to have a very successful meeting, I have no doubt. But he's a very tough negotiator. That's not good. We know each other well.
President, do you plan to sign a trade deal today?
Could be. We'll have a great understanding. We have a great relationship.
Behind the smiles, Beijing is pouring billions into new missile systems, nuclear submarines, and hypersonic delivery vehicles, a quiet but determined buildup that is changing the global balance of power. If any of these powers were to resume nuclear testing, the effects would go far beyond diplomacy. It would undermine confidence in the test ban treaty and unsettle U.S. allies who still remember the fallout from Pacific and Kazakh test sites. Environmental and health groups say even underground blasts risk contaminating soil, water, and fragile Arctic ecosystems. And politically, a new round of tests could reignite the global arms race that decades of negotiation worked so hard to contain. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.